This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower because nobody else wants to be. My guest today is Christina Morrison. Christina is a social media friend. We actually got to speak together recently, and she is the one of the social media gurus at Hewlett-Packard. Christina, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. Thanks so much for having me on today. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Let's get a little background on you first, and then perhaps your role at HP.
Sounds great. So I've spent practically my entire working career in public sector marketing, working at various companies such as NCR, Teradata, and now here at Hewlett-Packard. Very passionate about the government marketing space, very passionate about the great work that we do at Hewlett-Packard for our public sector customers. About in 2008, I started developing the Hewlett-Packard public sector social media programs. And it's just been a very exciting opportunity just with the explosion of where social media is started, even looking at 2008 and where it is today in 2014. I, for the last 2 years, have been working on the worldwide social media team at Hewlett-Packard, leveraging our communities throughout the world.
That covers a lot of ground.
Oh, it certainly does. It certainly does.
I can't even imagine how many Twitter accounts you have to monitor. I don't want to know.
You don't want to know. No, you don't want to know.
I really don't. But that's cool, because in 2008, I mean, it wasn't until late 2010 that the federal government started loosening the regulations on social media involvement, social networking involvement, striking agreements with LinkedIn, Facebook, et cetera, that set parameters on what they could accumulate on feds, all of that kind of stuff. So you were really riding that wave early.
Well, you know, what we noticed when the administration changed in 2008, 2009, a lot of the conversation around that election and the change you saw afterwards was around transparency and continuing and changing the conversation between government and citizens. And the explosion, like you said, of social is taking off in the public sector. And what we at HP wanted to do was be there with our customers, having those conversations, learning about the challenges that they're having, learning about their successes, and growing that relationship on another level.
Well, you know, I run stats on companies and agencies and how many people are in. And I think the last number I ran on HP was somewhere around 250,000 employees on LinkedIn. So, and that may be low.
No, I mean, that's about right. I mean, right now HP is around, you know, about 300,000 employees, I think. So it probably is around that number. HP was actually last year, we were one of the first companies, or actually the first company on LinkedIn to have over 1 million followers.
For the company profile.
For the company profile.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's pretty damn cool, too. You know, because number one, a lot of people still don't know that there is a difference between an individual profile and a company profile. So when they think company profile, they fill out the individual profile as the company.
Right, right.
Wrong.
Right. Exactly. You know, there's a huge difference between the Christina Morrison profile and the Hewlett-Packard company profile.
Right.
Both accounts talk about sometimes similar things, but sometimes, of course, very different things.
Right. And your ability to maneuver as Christina is radically different than a company profile.
Yes.
And a lot of people also think company profiles are static.
No, they're not. They need to be changing, growing, engaging, or else, you know, they'll become stale.
Yeah, And it, just like a website, if it doesn't update, nobody's going to go.
Exactly. If you're not being relevant and constantly changing and giving your audience something new to talk about, why would your audience continue to keep coming back? They want to keep coming back to grow, to learn, and to engage with you as a brand.
Okay, we're going to get back to LinkedIn probably several times, but tell me about the process of HP deciding to, and don't give away the secret sauce, obviously, but what was involved in the process of making an investment in social? Because you were, one of the reasons I wanted to reach out to you was you were you were one of the early social media people with a job title that said social media.
Well, thank you. For us on the HP team, especially when looking at government and public sector from a social point of view, we noticed the conversations were taking place socially that we weren't engaged in. And the world was changing where people, ITDMs, business decision makers, where they were going to get information about HP and about IT solutions wasn't the places where we traditionally were. It wasn't as much an email or a direct mail campaign as it used to be. And social was changing. And we needed to adapt. We needed to change to go where the customers were.
Right. And this was well before the conference snafus.
Yes. Yes.
But it wasn't necessarily before the travel budget started shrinking.
No, I mean, this was all back in 2009. And, you know, again, there was a little bit of internal resistance of, well, you know, once you say it, it's out there forever. Or what if someone says something bad about us? And, you know, my easy answer back to both of those questions was, that's all the more reason why we need to be there. Because it will be out there forever. And we want to make sure that the right message is out there, the message that we want out there. And if someone is saying something that is negative about us, we want to be able to respond. Maybe it is something that was misunderstood and we can, you know, correct it. Maybe it's a customer who needs support help. We can help them. It's better to respond to your negatives than to just close your eyes and walk away from them.
Yeah, I believe when we spoke at a different venue about this, the concept of people putting bad stuff out there came up. And if you deal with those people immediately, you take them from that burn victim bottom of the pile screaming hate you to the top of people who love you because you treated them like they wanted to be treated.
It is. It is so much easier to take that, you know, in your words, burn victim and turn them into an advocate, because all they're looking for is for you to help them solve their problem.
Yeah. Yep. And stroke them a little bit and,
yep,
you know, they purr. So it's true.
It's so true.
You know, it's, you know, I have my burn victim story and a couple of them are still there because they were never properly addressed. We won't get into them. But I still haven't been in a Best Buy in 15 years. Ain't gonna happen. just because. Ask me offline.
I will.
Give me some advice. Give our listeners some advice on how should a company look at social media here and how should they enter? I mean, there's so many choices. I get a lot of questions from people. Why don't you use Facebook?
Right. When we first entered into this, we took a step back and we did an audit and took a look at where conversations were taking place. We also, before we even started on that audit, we had some of our own marketing and sales goals. Identified who is it that we want to be talking to from an agency standpoint. What is it that we want to be talking to them about? And how can we grow that relationship from a sales point of view? So how can we take them from just being someone who knows a little bit about us to someone who knows a lot about us and wants to talk to us more often? So we went out, we did an audit looking at where conversations were taking place along all of the social media channels, platforms. And from there, we were able to identify key topics where we could be engaging and adding some value. We were able to identify key advocates, key influencers within the public sector space that we should be engaging with and trying to help them evangelize the HP public sector story on our behalf. Bloggers, even not so much even bloggers, but people who have a large following, mm-hmm. who are relevant mm-hmm. within public sector in this case on a particular topic that we're interested in wrapping our brand around. From there, then we were able to identify what platforms, such as Twitter, are these conversations taking place on. So we went with establishing first, taking gradual steps in. We started out with a Twitter handle and started building an editorial calendar around the topics that we identified best fit our key messages, and around, again, trying to grow with those customers that are interested in those topics. We didn't enter into Facebook, at least from a public sector standpoint, because we really didn't identify a lot of Facebook conversations taking place. Facebook, in my opinion, is a great place for you personally. Mm-hmm. It's a great place for a consumer brand. But from a business brand standpoint, especially in this case, and from a public sector government standpoint, there really isn't a lot of conversations happening on Facebook right there.
I'm so happy to hear you say that.
Yes, but it is the first place everybody wants to go, because I think it's the one social platform that people are probably the most familiar with from their own personal life.
Right, but so many people are also afraid of it for that same reason, because they hear all these weird stories about, what goes on there and stupid things people have said and cyberbullying and all, on and on. But again, for you, and a lot of people don't grasp this, LinkedIn is a year older than Facebook. It started in May 03. Facebook didn't start until February 07. I joined LinkedIn the week after Facebook started.
Yes.
So I
think you're right. I think people forget that, because Facebook does get a little bit more notoriety because it is more of that consumer personalized social tool, where LinkedIn is out there helping you professionally. Mm-hmm. It's a professional networking site. It's also helping, grow your business brand with your company page.
Very little of the shiny rock factor for hype media.
Yes, exactly.
So that's the way I like it, though, because you can develop a platform there for virtually any type of company. So we're going to take our first break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Back after these. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest today is Christina Morrison of Hewlett Packard. We are discussing all things social as they pertain to our government contracting community. So let me see if I can get back on track, because I took you off track. What kind of advice would you give a small company coming in? What do they need to do? How do they start their selection process?
So step one would be to identify, what are you trying to accomplish with social media? Are you trying to grow a customer base? Are you trying to retain customers? Are you looking to drive general awareness of your products, of your offering?
Can they do all three?
You can.
There you go.
You can. But if you're trying to do all three, then you need to have your messages and your editorial strategy balance and do all three. If you are just going to be one, then that's all you want to be. You just want to be a company who's trying to talk about support. Maybe this is your support platform. At HP, we have a Twitter channel that is just dedicated to support. So that when somebody has a question about, why is my ink cartridge not working on my printer, come over here. Someone will give you some one-on-one attention and answer those questions. Mm-hmm. On our main channels, it really is a conversation where we are trying to accomplish all three. And we make sure that our editorial strategy is balanced to accomplish all three of those goals.
Okay. But you keep using that phrase, and it's a very important phrase. Editorial. Why is an editorial calendar really necessary here?
So I think, again, social's new, and for some people it is kind of scary. So to make it seem a little bit more simpler, think of your social strategy or your social channel, what you're putting out there on your Twitter feed. Think of that the same way as an editor would of a magazine. And what is it that you want to talk about this week or today? And how are you going to go about sharing and telling that story? And, if you think again in the example with an editor, they don't wake up today and publish and put out their magazine.
Not thinking if they want to stay in business.
Right. They're thinking about what they want to be talking about for the whole year. Mm-hmm. They're setting each month, this is the theme for January, this is the theme for February. And you should take that same type of approach with your social strategy, with your platforms.
So you take your goals, what do you want to do? You develop an editorial from that, and then...
And then break it down. So in my case, what I do is I meet weekly with stakeholders throughout HP who have an interest in public sector. And we talk about what's hot that's going on in your world right now. Is it a new product launch? Is it a new customer win? Is it a customer that you're chasing that you want to make sure they're aware of a particular product offering? And then from there, building out the editorial calendar to align with that. So we do that, basically schedule out our content weekly. Mm-hmm. So that we know each day of the week what it is we're going to talk about. And it changes, you adjust for the world events and things like that, but making sure that you have a plan in advance so that you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I had the good fortune to speak at an HP event in January for your channel partners. And I can't say what, but there was some product announcement there because I don't know if it's out yet. Mm-hmm. But there was some pretty cool stuff coming down the pike.
There's always cool stuff coming down the pike.
This one could have been, from my minimal tech knowledge, this one should be a game changer. But that's beside the point. So now we have a strategy. We have a calendar. How do you pick the media to match your calendar?
Well, I think going back and looking at who it is you're trying to target, as I was saying earlier, from a business standpoint, you're good going to Twitter, you're good going to LinkedIn. In the government space, you're good looking at a group like GovLoop, where some of those conversations are taking place as well. Identifying again on key themes, finding some hashtags that are going to align with what your message is. One, that's popular that we follow throughout HP is Gov2O, mm-hmm. Social Gov. We also jump on IT trend hashtags such as mobility, cloud, security. And if you're new and you're just entering in and security is an area that you want to become more active and engaging with customers, with the audience there, follow that hashtag for a while. Get a feel for what people are talking about on that hashtag and who's talking and who's bringing the most value. That'll help you identify who you should be engaging with, who's an influencer. And it's okay, to just sit back and watch before you're ready to jump in and execute.
Okay, I'm assuming that you are a member on LinkedIn of the Gov2O group.
Yes.
Okay. There's like 33,000 members now. It pisses me off. massively more than me. So I'll talk to you later about, what other groups you belong into. Tell me the value of Twitter when you're reaching out to line managers in the federal market.
So it gives us the opportunity to grow relationships with our accounts. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of CIOs out there communicating via Twitter as well. And a lot of their staff is also out there as well, collecting and gathering information. Early on in my career, people were out there gathering information in the industry pubs.
Right.
Now they're out there gathering information on what's hot in IT socially.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is, if we're out there chasing after a large pursuit, we want to make sure that our message is aligned to that customer we're chasing after and that solution that we're trying to sell.
Yeah. Or just to show you how far back I go here, my data collection goes back to sitting down with the trade pubs with a highlighter and highlighting topics and people that I needed to
right.
to follow and people I needed to know.
See, times are changing, right?
There were no websites for the pubs, but when the websites came along, wasn't too long before you could search on them, that stuff.
Well, and that was the thing, too. Back to the topic of, early on and entering in, I was faced with the resistance. The people will be negative about us or why enter. No one's on Twitter or Facebook other than, my kids. And, my answer back was no one had a web page in 1980. Well, no one used email back then, and you need to adapt your strategy to the way the market is.
I'll have to send you a link to a talk show in the, it was like 94, just before or just after Netscape came out with the first Navigator.
Yeah.
And it was a talk show host going, why the heck would anybody want to?
Exactly. Yes.
So, yeah, and it's, but I remember those discussions. The only executive that I knew that fully embraced email back in 95 was Dendy Young over at Falcon Microsystems.
Wow.
And he was using it to reach out to key feds immediately.
Yeah.
So, but everybody else was, you know, everybody's going to get the honey-do list and, you know, pick this up on the way home.
Right.
You know, no vision at all.
At all. And so, you know, you see what's happened to folks who've been laggers with adopting a social strategy. They're just that. They're behind.
They're still there.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of them, you know. And yeah, we're on LinkedIn, but we don't see anything happen. But, you know, no plan, no calendar.
Right. And that's why you're not seeing anything happen. You know, I think it's the same thing as just any type of sales strategy. And if you don't implement a sales strategy, it's not going to happen. Your phone is not going to ring if you just sit next to it.
Okay. We're going to take a break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I usually give contact information for my guests. If you want to get in touch with Christina, look her up on LinkedIn or follow her on Twitter. Twitter handle?
Christina at HP.
There you go. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest today is Christina Morrison, social media guru at Hewlett Packard. So, you know, when you, a couple of years ago, when you clicked on the share button, there was like five things. Now you click on the share button and there's like 5,000 things.
Yes.
I've never heard of most of them. How do you, as the one of the social media gurus at HP, how do you determine which venues are going to evolve, which are best for you, and how do you adapt to them?
You know, I think it's looking at what is it that you're trying to talk about? You know, again, I keep going back to it, how important it is to have a strategy and to know who you want to talk about. You know, HP, we have a Pinterest strategy. We have an Instagram strategy. I personally, when talking to our government audience, do not go near either one of those two communities. Mm-hmm. Because that's not where my government customer is. So you need to know where your customer is and where the conversations are. And if you spent time on either Pinterest or on Instagram, you would know immediately that that's not where the government is having conversations about IT.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both Pinterest or Instagram, I mean, it's a community for millennials.
Right.
It's not where in this market you're going to see people talking about data center consolidation.
No, probably not.
Probably not.
And if it involves pictures, data center consolidation doesn't really lend itself.
Not really, no.
So, Twitter ramped pretty quick. LinkedIn was a very slow ramp up until 2010, 2011. Facebook was a radical ramp, but again, not a lot of play in our market. What are your metrics for determining when something that is no longer faddish but is trendish?
Yeah.
When does it fit the market? Give me some specific criteria.
So, you know, what we're measuring ourselves on socially is what are our engagement numbers looking like? What is our reach looking like? How often are we growing our community? And, you know, that's based off of, does that community find our content relevant? You know, some of our early channels that we created, some business channels we have within Facebook at HP, aren't performing at the level that, you know, we expect them to. And mm-hmm. we're going to make some decisions on how to fix that. But you have to have some benchmarks and some standards as to what your goals are. Again, what are your reach goals? What's your engagement goals? Where do you see, you know, your share of voice going? And what that is, you know, what's the level of conversation on that particular topic? And how much of that conversation are you owning?
How many analytics do you have to look at every week?
Personally, I have a team that does that for me. But no, that is...
You get the highlights.
Exactly. I get the highlights, so that's great because... it's the beauty of social media. You can get the highlights immediately. Mm-hmm. You know immediately, you know, if this was a dud piece of content or if this is a rock star piece of content. Actually, it's so timely. I'm doing right now an editorial calendar on a new campaign that's coming out, and I am running an A/B test on our messaging. We weren't sure which way.
A lot of people don't know what an A/B test is, but that's okay. You don't have to go there.
Well, we weren't sure which message to go with, option A or option B.
Right.
So we've spent this last week on one particular channel running a version A and a version B. And later on today, my analytics team will tell me which message performed best with that audience. And that's the one we're going to run with for the next 3 weeks.
Cool. So I'm assuming also I use some data from HubSpot and Marketing Profs and a variety of other sources. HubSpot gives me this massive list of words not to use in the subject line, and they segment it by market. I'm assuming you guys have internally things that rock and things that tank.
Yes.
In our market.
We do. I mean, the two tools that I primarily use is Hootsuite. I get a lot of just immediate analytics and scheduling of my content there. And also a shout out to Radiant 6 for giving that deeper analytics for us as well.
Radiant 6.
Yeah.
Cool. I have no clue who they are.
but give you that deeper level of social analytics.
Yeah. It's a very surface cut, but a couple of weeks ago, LinkedIn changed the who's viewed your profile.
Okay.
Did you notice that?
Yes, I have.
When you go there now, it's a little more information about each person, but at the top bar is what types of people are viewing your profile. So I get, I've been in the top 1% for a while of viewed profiles. But I'm getting this data that tells me 23 people from Booz Allen looked at you last week.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. But, you know, with that from LinkedIn, I'd asked them once, what do I do with that? So what? And, you know, the answer is it's just a neat little fun fact with it.
Yeah. There's a lot of the things that you get are more toyish than analytic.
Yes.
And, you know, yes, they're searching, you know, 50 people searched on keywords in your profile. Well, my profile runs 47 pages. There's a few keywords.
yes.
So, and that's not a joke. It does run
47 pages.
Somebody printed it out and probably killed a tree. So you read the analytics, you determine the ROI. What have you heavied up on and what have you cut back on as a result of those ROI analytics?
You know, making sure that every aspect of a campaign has some type of digital aligned to it. You know, and making sure too, you know, so if you're doing a new product campaign. You just sent out, maybe there's an element of email to it, a new web page about the product. Your social element and your digital element should be tied to that. So, you know, implementing search, making sure that this new web page is searchable, making sure that your social strategy is driving back to that web page because, you know, you want people to be engaging and spending as much time as possible in your company environment online. So being able to figure out again, like how certain pieces of content are performing, and you know, whether your analytics will tell you that, you know, is it too many words, you know, is it being retweeted often, doing that comparison of what is making one piece of content stand out over another.
Okay.
Luckily, I have the analytic geniuses working on those numbers
for
me.
You got the Big Bang team.
I do.
Well, there you go. Everybody needs a Big Bang team, so we do this. So from this conversation, are your major tools Twitter and LinkedIn, then GovLoop, and then Is there a second tier?
So from a government standpoint, we've been trying to take some steal some best practices from our consumer HP team. Mm-hmm. Over the summer, they the HP consumer team ran a campaign on Vine videos. Very cool. Catchy, you know, quick Vine videos. Videos are everywhere. So we had a new product announcement that's coming out. It's about mobile printing, and we're working to figure out how to create some short little nugget snackable videos about mobile printing in the education space, in the classroom. So we took an idea that seemed to work well for our consumer team, and we're mm-hmm. now going to modify it and figure out how, you know, leveraging videos, snackable content, how that's going to perform when targeting education, when targeting teachers, superintendents, and bringing the conversation technology to the classroom to life.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So, well, you know, you guys have a massive YouTube page anyway.
Yes.
So, and I... thousands of videos. Do you do the same thing with webinars? I have to imagine you do.
We do. I mean, a lot of the content, you know, webinars, we're trying to balance out the information that goes between webinars and our YouTube content. A lot of it is complements each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can find that content out there on YouTube, usually a lot longer than the webinar content sticks around.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you can take stuff off YouTube when you want.
Yes.
But the only time you really want to take it off is when it's no longer pertinent or it needs the technological update.
Right. Right.
Same thing with a webinar, though.
Exactly. Which happens. You know, new product comes out, the old product video needs to come down.
Okay. Cool. When we come back, I want to ask you your personal preferences on social media as pertains to this market.
All right.
You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, back after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Christina Morrison. You can find her at, what's the Twitter handle again?
It is Christina at HP.
There you go.
Well, you know what? It's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A.
Yes, no K.
No K.
And you can find her on LinkedIn as well. Only connect if you're in the government market. I don't know what her parameters are, but those are mine. But be that as it may, we have 10 minutes. I want to know what's the most interesting campaign that you guys have done, digital world?
You know, I think the most interesting one I have seen, and it wasn't an HP one, so I'm going to give a shout out to somebody else.
Okay.
But it was the Super Bowl 2013 when the lights went out in New Orleans.
Ooh.
And moments later, our favorite cookie in America had their Facebook and Twitter picture out there about Dunkin' Oreos in the dark.
There you go.
And I think that is what has helped.
Now we know who turned off the lights.
Exactly, right? Because they had this campaign sitting and waiting, but it just shows, you know, the speed that you are able to respond and to create a phenomenal impact on something that's trending.
That's absolutely critical, too. The speed of response is not something that large companies are known for.
No. No, it's not. It was amazing to see that come out of somebody as big as, is that Nabisco?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You know, we try.
We don't know who the manufacturer is, but we love cookies.
We love Oreos. Who doesn't? But, you know, what we try to do at HP is to, you know, get associated with trends that you see, you know, are going to be taking place. You know the Oscars are coming. You know the Super Bowl is coming. You know it's going to be St. Patrick's Day soon, and it's going to be Earth Day. Make sure that you're aligned to common trends and be prepared for that, you know, amazing moment when lightning might strike.
Yeah,
like the Oreo was.
The ability to insert yourself in stories is predicated on that rapid response.
Absolutely,
capability.
Yes.
And boy, Oreo became the story.
They did. They did. And they've got a lot of other folks like myself admiring and trying to catch the next lightning opportunity.
Yeah, if I'd known the lights were going to be out that long, I would have run out and bought some Oreos. So. Not that I need them. All right. So the big question here, what's your favorite personal digital playground and why?
So my personal favorite, Pinterest.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
You know, it's a great place for me to find ideas for just home, decorating ideas, recipe dinner ideas, hack ideas. The sad thing is I don't do as much as I should with all the ideas I'm collecting. But that's
how
okay.
How many do you collect?
Too
how
many.
How much time do you have?
Exactly. Boom. You know, so I'm building. But, you know, I will pat myself on the back. I pinned a recipe this week, and I made it for dinner this week.
There you go.
So there cool. we go. So I am taking advantage of that.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. So I want to wrap on something that we've discussed briefly before. But we really need to help the uninitiated here, if you will.
Yes.
So what are the three most important things to consider when you're relatively or very new at this and you're developing your social media strategy?
So, you know, I can't stress it enough how important it is to have a strategy and to commit to that strategy and to execute on it. So many people think, oh, social media, it's free. Yeah, it doesn't cost anything to create a Twitter handle, but your time, your effort, developing, growing that is a cost. Commit to it. Know that you need to do it. Know that what it's going to take to get it executed properly. You won't make a lot of friends in the market and grow your business the way you want if you come hot and heavy on a social strategy for 3 months and then walk away.
Okay.
Stay committed. I think knowing who it is that you want to talk to, who you want to be engaged with, and then also take a look around and see, you know, if somebody else within your organization is already leveraging a social presence. Align with them. Figure out how you can share the effort and leverage from, you know, some maybe internal best practices you might see in your organization.
Yeah, you know, that's one that goes against some companies' grain. You know, I'm not quite sure if there's a size factor involved here, but when I'm coaching the C-levels on this, I say, you know, bring up your latest hire and ask what social they use and why. And they say, why would I do that? And I go, because they're more tuned to it than you and me.
Exactly. You know, and I think initially a lot of people thought, well, social, it's just for those Gen Xers or millennials. And that's not the case. If it was the case, I wouldn't have spent, you know, a lot of Hewlett-Packard money on growing a social media strategy here. The conversations are taking place. The marketing strategy has certainly changed in the government. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen that with the way conferences and events have been going. This is a great tool to be leveraging to engage and grow your public sector government business.
Yeah, and even for the, you know, the events that we have left, those that haven't been canceled and that are still relatively robust, when you meet people there, the first thing I do when I come back is reach out to them on LinkedIn.
Absolutely.
You know, the network.
You know, leveraging, and that's the thing too, you know, the events may be getting shorter these days, the event list, but leveraging social with your event strategy is another way to increase the reach and the relevance of that event.
Well, it's also one way to make sure everybody knows what you'll be at, so they'll be looking for you.
Absolutely.
So
to engage
cool.
with you, right?
Exactly. It's, you know, without that relationship factor, we're all toast.
Absolutely.
This enhances it amazingly.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Christina Morrison of Hewlett-Packard, the social, one of the, how many people are on that social media team?
Oh, a lot.
A lot, yeah. So listen, a lot of people at HP do this, and they're pretty successful in the government market. I think you'll see them in a few offices. So thanks again. You've been listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio. This is not my day job. If you need help with your marketing to the government, if you need help particularly with LinkedIn, give me a call. And thank you for listening to Amtower Off Center.
You've been listening to Amtower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Amtower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.